weekend from Saturday. The fast starts Saturday night, sunset of Yom Kippur. It's a total fast. No washing, no combing your hair, no food, no water.
No fun.
But in the midst of it is the most freeing thing there is, and that's the Kol Nidre. You throw on the fire the vows that you've made in the past year and the ones you didn't even remember you made, so that you can walk free of any encumbrances on the earth, any ties that have kept you off the mercy seat. And the fast is difficult. Your body just craves water. If you're a smoker, it craves cigarettes and nicotine. But what I'd ask you to do is, first of all, read the memo. It's about the scapegoat, it's about Jesus' baptism, it's about some very important things. And if you, what I'd ask you to do is to, if you feel that you have to do something that's forbidden in the fast, you know, go talk to somebody. It's not, this isn't about keeping it correctly, it's about the purpose of fasts are to increase your irritability, especially Yom Kippur fast. And it's the same with the fast of Ab. Those are the two super fasts. And the reason you want to increase your irritability is so that you can see that how much importance you give to things on the earth and how little you appreciate and understand the love of the brethren. So don't take it lightly. It's a vital thing. It helps you understand the baptism of Christ. It helps you understand the scapegoat aspect of life. So please, please, read it, read this memo and take it seriously. Amen? Anybody have any? There's a jillion things happened on the feast of, or the fast of Yom Kippur and then the celebration of Yom Kippur. And there, a lot of them are detailed in that memo. So please, you know that series of memos on the feasts? Do you have any idea how long that took me to put
those
together?
You know, I think about those memos and they encapsulate so well each feast.
But I want you to try to comprehend what it took, the years it took to pull that stuff out. Because you couldn't, what the Jews are doing now, except for the Kol Nidre, is just mostly crap. And so the idea of trying to figure out what they did in the time of Christ and what they continued to do for the next 100 years, it seems like that's kind of important. Amen? All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And the Rutledge group is going to meet in here at 2 for the readings. I think I'll meet with the Buckner group just to play with them a little bit.
2 for 12.
Look in the memo. Just look in the memo. Read the memo. Read the damn memo.
Usually we meet at noon on these fasts because there's nothing else to do. I'd be miserable together.
On Saturday night, we used to have the kids go around and be the Yom Kippur the fast inspectors to see whether the furniture had been turned over. And
Crystal's kid was
here. Huh?
When Crystal's kid was here, she headed that up.
Well, for a long time, besides get a mental block.
Sable.
But there were several pretty, Maggie was pretty intense. Yeah. All right. Verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we know that it's strive. The study is to eagerly present yourself. Amen? We talked about all that. Unto God is in most of the New Testament, there's two words that are mostly used for God or Lord, and it's theos and kyros. K-Y-R-I-O-S and theos. K-I-K-Y-R-O-S is the meaning of owner. You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. You are owned by someone else. And here, that's a given. That's 99% of the time Lord or God is used. Here, it's theos. So that's the reckoning, as we'll see in a few minutes. It's the reckoning that you give importance, breath, to nothing but God. Remember, that's the word love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy might, and all thy mind, and everything else. That means give importance only to Him. All right. Workman is just somebody that does something. It doesn't matter what it is. That needeth not to be ashamed. We studied this yesterday. There's no cause to be ashamed before self, because shame has gone away. Before men, because their response to you is unimportant. And before God. And that's for your entire time on earth. Rightly dividing. Now we're going to get interesting. Rightly dividing the word of truth. It's orthotomio. And it's a Greek word that means to cut straight. If you were plowing a field, you would orthotomio the straight line on the furrow. If the sacrificial knife is being used, which we'll get to in a minute, then it's rightly dividing all the way down to bone and marrow to see whether there's anything within you that still you're still giving importance to and still don't understand what the mystery of God is vis-a-vis your body. So rightly dividing the word of truth. Cut straight. Plow a furrow. Let's look at a few of these. Let's go to Proverbs 3. Anybody have any response to anything so far? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. It's not the heart there is your inner being. It's just the Greek word leb. It just means that your inner being. You know that he is raised from the dead in your inner being. You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. And so this means that you understand, you don't forget in anything and in any time. Forget, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Lean not on your own arm of understanding in anything. Now the word for rightly dividing or orthotomio in the Greek version here in verse 6 it's direct. It's the perfect way, the perfect Jesus cut, the perfect way. And then he is the perfect way in every single thing. You trust, lean not in your own arm of understanding, but all your ways acknowledge him. Now, what this means is you don't even, whatever it is, you, every part of you, you acknowledge it as him. You understand? Anybody have any questions? You see his mystery in every aspect of your life, even in the kidneys and the bladder and everything. You understand, because if you want to understand the mystery of God, look at your body, study it to see what God is doing. Amen? So rightly dividing, let's go to 11:5, Proverbs. I'll just start in verse 1. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. You understand? Everybody at Proverbs, chapter 11. You were at Proverbs 3. You only had to go through two or three pages.
Yeah, but you went too fast. It wasn't that hard.
Okay. You got it?
I got to say something. I'm troubled about something. It's like for 30 years, ready to show thyself approved always meant something different.
To who?
Me.
Oh.
And anybody who read it, I would assume, before we started looking at it.
Well, I've talked about this. You remember the sacrificial knife? And
well, that part.
Presenting, when we studied Romans 12, we studied this. All the words were peristemi was used in the scriptures. But whatever. The point is, you just heard it.
Yeah. I've heard it then, so it's like eagerly presenting yourself, showing. But then I think about the study part and carving up a turkey or doing the sacrificial life without some knowledge that I relate to study.
But forget the word study. That's what you have to forget.
I'm forgetting that. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Because if you can study to show yourself approved, then your salvation and your apprehension of God is dependent on your intelligence. And the opposite is true. Present yourself a living sacrifice. That's the showing that you're approved, because you're showing him. All of you is gone. No more if onlys. No more what ifs.
So I see what's missing here. From there, rightly dividing the word of truth, by eagerly presenting yourself, you are in a place of trusting totally in God and
his way.
And his way, and his ability, and then the rightly dividing will...
It'll be manifest. It'll be apprehended. You will be apprehended by it instead of you always. The whole basis of everything that we understand and know about the mystery of God is very simple. You can't do it. He can. You can never, ever, ever make a mistake theologically or from your doctrine. You can never give too much importance to God. And if you give yourself or your abilities any importance whatsoever, then you've missed it. Is that cleared up? All right. False balance. And again, this is where now we're talking about the same idea of this. Remember when we talked about what the word dokimos for approved is? It's the shaving off of the little bit from the money changer so you can get more. Well, it's also something else, but we'll get there in a minute. A false balance is abomination to the Lord. Now, notice, it doesn't, whenever it uses the word abomination, it doesn't say it is an abomination. It is the abomination. Now, the abomination is what? Keep your marker in here. And go to Matthew. Matthew Matthew 24, verse 15. Now, this is coming directly from Daniel. Verse 15. Everybody there? Matthew 1, 5. Matthew 24, verse 15. When you, therefore, shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, and whoso readeth this, let him understand. The minute you see that you are the abomination of desolation, the minute that apprehension is there, only thing you can do is remain in the holy place. And you never leave it. You never go on your own. You never go take little trips or road trips. You know, and wherever you go is holy because you're in the holy place because of who you contain. So the abomination of desolation isn't an act. Now, the ancient rabbis said that the abomination of desolation is when this particular soldier, Roman soldier, he wrapped a rabbi on the Yom Kippur, he wrapped a rabbi in the holy scrolls, the Torah, and then set him on fire. Now that's abomination of desolation, obviously, that you could see. Now the abomination of desolation is you. If you're in that holy place, and haven't seen yet, when you therefore shall see the abomination. All right? Did you keep your finger in Proverbs 11?
Yep.
Looky there. Mr. Bojo turned right to it. He's doing the Ronnie thing. Except he's not telling us about it. All right. False balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. The righteous of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked one shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but the transgressor shall be taken in their own righteousness. In their own naughtiness. What the hell is that doing in there? every way of the evil one, your mind, is naughtiness. All right. Verse 5 is, the righteousness of the way of the perfect shall direct his way. Now, direct is the word rightly dividing. Amen? You see what it means in every one of these cases? This word, orthotomio, it means stay in the path, stay in the way. Remember, there's the 23rd Psalm. He said, I got to do the whole thing. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. The path of righteousness, path there is orthotomia. So you're rightly dividing the word of truth. When you are out of the way, when you have emptied, then he is, you're not. So that's what it means. It also means cutting up with a sacrificial knife. So let's go to a couple others. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 2.
It's different from the popular question, what are my options?
Yeah, that's not good. If you have any options, you just wait and do nothing. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse Verse 17. When I, therefore, was thus minded, did I use lightness or the thing? Huh? Chapter. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in the wrong place. Yeah, here it is. Verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? And this is where this concept comes in. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Now, to corrupt the word of God means that in your speaking about it, you've left the cutting of the right, of the path. You understand? You've left the perfect way, and you're trying to use it for an argument, or you're using it for apologetics, trying to win a point, or you're using it for to gain people. You know, you leave the path in your speech, you leave this rightly dividing, and you add something to it, or you don't. In other words, you hold it in. Both of them are leaving the path. Right? Now to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're just right there. If you're no more than one page away. Therefore, as seeing we have received this mercy, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We don't leave in our mind, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation, open, mate, you're an open vessel. There's nothing hidden. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now, the word here that means you've left the path is deceitfully. You're handling the word of God deceitfully. And that's a legal word out of the law. You've added water to the wine for the purposes of commerce. You're trying to gain somebody. We had a visitor that came to one of the Wednesday night Bible studies. And he thought it was great, except he cannot fellowship with anyone that believes the Antichrist is him. So, that's fine. And it doesn't affect his salvation. It's a commentary.
Bear with me a second. If the Antichrist, or Satan, whatever name you want to give him, is your mind, and sometimes I think, what does that make God? Also a figment of your imagination? I don't know. I'm just checking it out there.
Well, if God is just a philosophy, then 99.99999% of the people. His life isn't lived. It's thought about. It's attempting to do, because that's all the Antichrist can do. He can't be. He has to always try to be. Even if he's trying to be right, even if he's sincere, it's just a philosophy. And you know how I love philosophies.
I'm still confused, but that's all right.
But we try and create God in our own image. That's, I think.
That's it.
Yeah,
I think that's it.
And that's nothing. That's just like...
That's what man does. That's the Antichrist only out.
Yeah.
Come up with, here's how God ought to be. I'd like it, that's Tammuz.
He's about 5'9". He has a wingspan of about 8 inches.
His hair is maybe blonde, maybe dark.
All right. That kind of get it with his help?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
We're still getting there.
All right. All right, so now let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. No, wait a minute. Stay in 2 Corinthians. Did we just finish 4 too? Yeah, we did. Mm-hmm. Hebrews. I'm a little goofy today.
It is time to think of the God.
Chapter 4. all my pages of Hebrew stick together. Because I must have been studying with honey in my hand or something. Verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Now, that's a contradiction in terms. Right? It's like the word study, now labor. What it means, you've got to do something. Everybody does stuff. That's why that word workman is to anyone who does something. Okay, all you're saying is that you're now, everything you do is no longer you trying to get something, or you trying to impress somebody, you trying to say something right, or you're trying to get laid, or whatever you're trying to do, that's all gone. Because now your only doing is abandonment. So, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. We have been in the night of the Sabbath day for 2,000 years. Now the day is about to dawn, but when the day dawns, everything is over. Remember, that's what the ancients said about when mankind, or when the universe reached the age of Aquarius. The age of Aquarius was the end of all things. Now, if you notice, it goes from Pisces in the zodiac, and then there's this fish over here, but the water is starting to pour. So where exactly the age begins isn't distinct like it is in all the other sculptures. But we have entered the age of Aquarius because in this ecliptic of the heavens, now we are you can see both, it looks like both Aquarius and Pisces are the first constellation you see on the evening of the spring equinox. That's what defines what age you're in. That's why the Mayan calendar ends December 21st, 2012. That's not just Mayans, a whole bunch of others. Because if you look at it carefully, that's pretty damn close to when you leave the age of Pisces and only Aquarius is left. Am I confusing everybody?
Mm-hmm.
That's all right. Come to Wednesday night Bible study.
You'll see the movie.
Huh? What movie?
There's a movie out called 2012 based on what you just said.
Well, I'm going to go see a movie. That'll be the day. I'm going to go to a movie for my theology.
It's cheaper just to buy a Zodiac chart and come Wednesday night.
Huh?
It's cheaper just to buy a Zodiac chart.
Yeah, and Mr. Scott has a few that you can buy from. All right.
Special price for you.
Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and alive there. That's what quick means. That means he's speedy. He's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, that word for two-edged sword there is the sacrificial knife. That's what you use to rightly divide the word of truth. That means if you still have your life, you can't. All this, it means nothing. The predicate of everything that we're studying is if you be dead with him, you shall live with him. But once you stay alive, and then you try to go through the scriptures, and you come up with the weirdest crap in the universe. You got helicopters and battles of Armageddon coming, and that's all done. All right. The word. Let's go back to Timothy, 2 Timothy. This is kind of an important verse, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So eagerly present yourself as a living sacrifice, which makes you approved, and then remain therein. You'll be then, because of the way is perfect, you will rightly divide the word of truth. You get, see, again, this is a perfect example of what Gary was talking about this morning. And every one of us has a jillion of them. They're traditions of men. And so by that tradition of men, you make void the power and the word of God. If you still, if any of you still think that you got to study and memorize and look, and that's not what it means. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody have any response to any of this? How come Jeff is only silent during Bible study? He's thinking up something to say right now. No, it's just zip the mouth. Let's see how long that lasts today. Maybe you're still exhausted from the feeding frenzy of small talk the other day on the porch with Scott and Jeff and Sylvia. Huh?
He is. Who are you talking to?
Both of you. Take it, big guy. See, Mr. Bulger had enough of it. He got up and left before I said take it, big guy. Got it?
Yeah. I just have to follow up the field. I'll be right back down. Get locked in.
That's my job.
I know it. I get right away. It's no doubt that you're stuck with what used to be.
Yeah.
I was sitting there thinking about it, and I couldn't get past it.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you said it, because it was somebody else's benefit.
I'm sure. I think you'll understand what I'm saying. We got way back.
Oh, I didn't bust it.